The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Where else would you rather be than right here?
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and the only podcast that gives you the mediocre Bills off-season coverage that you all deserve. I'm your host, Nate, and this is our first official off-season podcast where we will discuss the question of the day, some Bills coaching hires, an AFC East rival finally hires its head coach, Brandon Bean's letter to season ticket holders, and this week in Bills history. I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. So, fellas, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Nate. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be here with you today. Talking Bills football. It's going great, Nate.
No, good. Good, good. So, want to discuss a few things today. It's off-season time. The Super Bowl's over. And rather than talk about the depressing game, I have a question of the day for us on the podcast, for us and all Bills fans. I posted on Twitter and Facebook and got some good feedback on it. So knowing what you know now, question of the day, if Tom Brady was our quarterback from the start, he was drafted by the Bills, he was a Bills quarterback, would you A, love him because he's our quarterback, or B, hate him because he's Tom Brady, and Brady is a very hateable person in general? So A, love him because he's our quarterback, he's a Bills quarterback, or B, hate him anyway because we just all hate, a lot of people hate Tom Brady out there.
B, he's a no good cheat.
All right, John. John, are you really saying that it doesn't matter if he won 6 Super Bowls and got 9 appearances, you would still hate him because he cheated? Even if I think you'd be able to look past the whole cheating thing if he was a Bills player, wouldn't you?
Jim Kelly didn't cheat.
Well, not that we know of. That's true. Mike, what do you think?
I think, John, you're lying to yourself. It's probably like 5 cognitive biases that you're lying to yourself on. Of course, if you had the at this point, almost inarguably, right? Like the greatest quarter, if maybe not player, greatest quarterback, can agree to say most successful quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah.
If he was on your team, you would be probably in prison because you would be stalking him or something. I don't know. But to say you wouldn't like him, that's crazy.
Well, I don't know if he would go to 6 or go to even 9 Super Bowls and win 6 of them if he doesn't have Belichick as his coach.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course. I thought you were saying, their success transferred to the Bills. Would you like Brady?
Well, when you just said that just now, I mean, I kind of thought about the fact that, you know, he's done all these things. I don't know if he accomplishes any of them without Belichick as his coach. Does he? I mean, is he that good? I mean, we saw this last Super Bowl. He did not play well. He was shut down for the most part by the Rams defense. And in a game where the Rams only allowed the Patriots to score 13, I mean, the Rams should have won that game. And it wasn't for Brady. You know, Brady didn't win the game. It's like the defense won the game. It was Belichick's coaching that won them that game. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't really know what this, what Tom Brady, I think he's still a good quarterback. Maybe he still goes to his, maybe he's Aaron Rodgers, you know. Aaron Rodgers only been to, what, one Super Bowl? But he doesn't have the track record that Tom Brady does. He's never had a coach like Bill Belichick.
Isn't that we're conflating two different questions?
Yeah, we are a little bit, but that's why we're having this discussion. We're just throwing it out there. But I think I would be personally, I'd be willing to overlook all the things that I don't like about Tom Brady if he was a Bills quarterback, because we've been so deprived of a franchise quarterback since Jim Kelly. And it would have been perfect to like leave off with Jim Kelly, go to, Doug Flutie, and then go right to Tom Brady right after, you know. But the thing is we as Bills fans, I think we're so programmed to hate Tom Brady because literally for the last, 18, 19 years, he's just shed all over us. You know, like twice a year, they beat us, they stomp us, they just destroy us. And we can't like him. I mean, I think it's happened so long that we kind of respect him a little bit because you're like, obviously he's good. It's not like he's just doing this to the Bills. He does this to every team.
John, if he was traded to the Bills, you would be the biggest, you'd be the first person in Western New York with a Brady jersey with a Bills logo on it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that I was happy when the Bills traded for Bledsoe at that time. I remember being happy about that.
But that's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Bledsoe wasn't as good.
Well, we didn't know that at the time.
At the time, he was upper echelon, I would say. Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, the time that the Bills traded for Drew Bledsoe, yeah. Drew Bledsoe was thought that he was possibly still the best quarterback, and the Patriots were taking a huge chance with Tom Brady being their starting quarterback, you know? So then we thought we were getting the Patriots' best quarterback. So it'd be like if the Patriots traded Brady a couple years ago and kept Garoppolo, you know, even at like 38 or 39. So, yeah, John, I think you'd be able to overlook the Tom Brady that you hate for just, you know, just a few games. Imagine if we went 11-5 and won the Super Bowl next year. You'd be like, well, it doesn't really count because Tom Brady was our quarterback. You'd be cool with it.
I don't know. Do you want a player like that representing Buffalo?
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Tom Brady doesn't seem like a Buffalo kind of guy, you know? He just doesn't. He's Hollywood.
Buffalo, New England, it's like the same idea, right? Like blue collar, northeast, cold weather.
No, big market, big city, Boston. I think it's much different.
And too, it's not just one city.
Yeah, it's a whole area, true.
They could change that tomorrow with the Bills and call them the New York Bills. Like, that's kind of smart on the Patriots' part, I would think.
Yeah, regionalize.
Actually, they did that. They used to be the Boston Patriots.
And then they're like, oh, we like money.
Well, on Twitter, I posted this question, over 200 votes. And if you had to guess what people said, what would you guys think? People love him or hate him if he was a Bills quarterback?
People would love him.
We will love him. Mike, what do you think?
I mean, you're asking me how the Twitter vote went. You're not asking how people actually feel. You're asking how people think they would feel in that situation. That's
Yeah. It's all hypothetical. Different. Yes, obviously.
Do people really know themselves?
I'm going to post.
Just like John said, you pose the question. If Twitter existed back with Bledsoe, it was probably a radical departure between what people anticipated how they would react. Oh, if they got Bledsoe versus when he actually comes, right? So
younger than Brady is now too. I guess that would factor into it.
Yeah, I don't know. What was he, like 33 or something? He wasn't that old. He definitely isn't that old as Brady.
But everything we've said up to this point is because it's not about his play or his age. It's like you guys don't like him.
Yeah.
Like personality.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his personality, but I mean, you know, there's some things that you're willing to overlook if he's your quarterback and he's winning you games, you know. So, Mike, what do you think? What do you think that they think?
What did John say? 50-50? Cop out?
They'll love him.
I don't think people will love him. I'll say that.
Yeah.
50-50? Or probably less. I would say they would dislike him.
Oh, wow. Two sides. John's actually right on this one. 64% say they love him. And 36% said they would still hate him anyway.
Have you verified those are all Bills fans?
See, if you're not following us on Twitter, follow us at CTWpod, Circling the Wagons Pod. But yeah, I only follow Bills fans, and Bills fans only follow me for the most part. So yeah, all Bills fans. So like, let me go over some of the comments are really interesting.
Nice, John.
Nice, John. Yeah, way to go. Finally write about something. Jeez. Brian Lembo tweets, you know what the argument is to him and the team cheating? Someone gets suspended for a few games, lose a draft pick, and they are still in the AFC Championship every year. How about instead of crying about it, we start doing these things. Deflate some footballs, whatever you got to do. that's just an interesting tweet about cheating also. That really has nothing to do with this. They're just like, let's just cheat.
May as well.
Bills and Mets fan tweets, come on, never a Buffalo Bill, never. And he shows like all these pictures. He tweeted me all the pictures of Tom Brady kissing someone on the lips. Bill Belichick, his son, and a few other people. Alex tweets in, why wouldn't you? If he brings Super Bowls, every single fan would love him, which I kind of agree with. And Brian Lembo tweets again. He's like, Bills fans hate, the hate of this guy is so ridiculous. The amount this fan base whines and complains about him being a cheater and blah, blah is so outrageous. This guy has been dominant for close to over two decades. So you have to respect ability no matter who the player is. So I don't know. That's kind of where I come out on that side of it. Now we get to our Facebook poll, and there it's the exact opposite. So we were talking earlier about it being in favor on Twitter or Facebook. They actually 52-48 hate him just because he's Brady, right? Isn't that funny how Facebook and Twitter can be so much different? I don't know if that speaks to the people that are on both or what, but Joe Howerton writes on Facebook, I hate his arrogance. Tom Wright writes, jealous people, you got to respect his sportsmanship. I don't know about sportsmanship, John. You were just talking about him cheating. So
maybe I need to dump Twitter and get Facebook.
Maureen Flynn tweets, hate him because he would still find a way to cheat. I don't know, man. I think if he was your quarterback, I think you would find a way to overlook that cheating. At least that's what I see from all Patriots fans. You know, none of them actually think that that's a bad thing. Mike, do you remember last year when there was that egregious hit by Rob Gronkowski on Tre'Davious White after that interception? And he just like speared him on the sidelines.
And yes.
And you played, because you're like, it's all about perspective. And you basically played the play-by-play call on the Patriots side of the ball. I forget who it was, Zolak or something, Scott Zolak from the Patriots sideline. And you're like, it's all perspective because we think it was an egregious hit. It was a dirty hit. And then when he played Scott Zolak, he's like, good, the guy deserved it. And we're like, what? You know, it's really all that is for any of this stuff is just perspective on if he's on your team, if that's Rob Gronkowski, you're like, good. He deserves it for holding him all game. Whereas, you know, for us as Bills fans, we're like, that's the dirtiest hit I've ever seen on any player, you know? So also on Facebook, Keanu Valentin writes, love him. Nothing but respect for that man. I don't know about that. I wouldn't say there's nothing but respect for him right now. Dale Race writes, probably love him. My hate towards him is squarely because he's a Patriot, but I don't know if he would be the same without Hoodie. So that's kind of like what we talked about. a couple of people wrote, delete this post for even asking about that. Nope, not going to do that. Matt Semler writes, a real Sophie's choice. What is Sophie's choice, by the way? Do you guys know what that means? I feel like I should know what that means.
Sophie's choice is a movie.
yeah. Well, do you know what happens in that movie?
I believe that a woman, Sophie, has to make a choice which child she wants to save in World War II.
Oh, geez. Wow. Sounds like you know a lot about it. I thought you were just going to say, I believe it's a choice she has to make between two different things.
Well, we're kind of laughing. It's kind of a heavy subject.
Oh, okay. Wow. Geez. Yeah, that is pretty heavy. Saving children. Gotcha. So he writes, part of my dislike for him is that he seems like such an arrogant D-bag. I definitely wouldn't buy his jersey if he was on our team, though. So, what Rich Buttinger writes, well, if he was with the Bills when he came into the league, he'd have been out of the league years ago. We should have him on the podcast. That's a pretty good take. And Doris Prosser writes, he is still an arrogant prick. I wouldn't want him, which seems to be the sentiment on Facebook. Like I said, 52-48. So I don't know. That was just an interesting thing I was thinking about. I know that I think it's all perspective thing. It's hard to.
I mean, at some point, there's a difference between a fine line between arrogance and confidence, right? I think like when for your whole career, if you've been in the Super Bowl every other year, like it's more confidence.
Yeah.
From my perspective. Like it's arrogance if you can't back it up. If you win the Super Bowl every other year.
What do you guys think about one of the things that impresses me about the Patriots, which I think is total bullshit as a fan, as a Bills fan, but is that they always find ways to get motivation as if they're the underdog. Like they were literally, I think they were either the highest odds to win the Super Bowl by Vegas or whatever, but like they find this bulletin board material and like people doubting them, like there might be in the national media, I have no idea how many doubters, probably like 5% or whatever. It's such a low percent, but they just hold on to those like three or four things. And they're like, you know, no, they thought I was too old. They thought this. It's like, you guys went 11-5. You guys have been to, you know, three of the last four Super Bowls. Like who amongst everyone was just like, you guys are done. Like that's what, if you listen to ESPN, they say that sometimes just to run headlines or just to get clicks or just to get people to view. But I mean, as Bills fans, I don't think any of us starting the season were like, man, I think this is the year the Patriots are done. And be like, you know, we think it's at least, even now, we think it's at least a couple more years, right? It's like, isn't that amazing that they keep finding this kind of just something to motivate them when really...
You seem irritated by it. I think it's more admirable.
I mean, it's impressive that they can do it. It's annoying that they can continue to do it. Because I wish that they wouldn't find it, but the fact that they do, that's what all the great athletes.
But they're not favored by three touchdowns a game, right? Like you could get in college. They were underdogs in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but they weren't. I mean, yeah. I guess they play it off as if they're like David versus Goliath, right? The rest of the NFL is Goliath. I guess it's that sort of extreme, which you have to do as a great athlete or a great team is to look at that and say nobody believes in us, right? Because if you think everyone thinks we're going to win, then you get lazy and complacent.
So if that's what you have to do to win and that's what they do, like where's the fault in that?
Well, if you listen, like at the start of this, I was kind of saying how impressive it was. I mean, it still irritates me as a Bills fan that they're able to do that, but it is impressive that they can still do it and they still find, you know, like I said, bulletin board material or that sort of motivation, just even though literally like they are the favorites every year to win the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I think it's impressive. It's annoying that they can still do that, but yeah, it's impressive to say the least. It's annoying, but I get it. You know, it's like one of those things where that's what all the great teams do. And I hope that that's one of the things that the Bills look at when, and I think that's what they did that first year under McDermott, is they kind of painted themselves as nobody wants us to do anything. And I think at the beginning of the season when the Bills were 0-2 and they were getting blown out the first couple of games, they kind of said, everyone thinks that we're going to be the worst team in the league. It's our job to prove that we're not. And even though they didn't make the playoffs or, you know, have a winning record, I think they definitely proved that they weren't the worst team in the league, you know? I think they use that as bulletin board material. I think that's what good coaches do and good players, you know?
Well, I'm a lot more depressed now than I was 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're still a couple of years away from the Patriots really taking a dive, you know. I mean, Brady has shown some weaknesses. He's not the same quarterback he was, but, I mean, you know, we just need to get through New England before – some team has to get through New England before we can even consider winning the AFC East. All right, so some quick Buffalo Bills news. The Bills hired Ken Dorsey as a quarterback coach this last week. He was the ex-quarterback coach at Carolina when Sean McDermott was there. So another Carolina connection, surprise, surprise. The Bills promoted offensive assistant Chad Hall to the wide receivers coach Just another promotion from within. So just some news and notes there. Other news within the AFC East is that now that the Super Bowl's done, the Dolphins have hired Patriots ex-linebacking coach Brian Flores as the Dolphins' new head coach. And I guess I'll just open that real quick up for discussion. I mean, should Bills fans be worried about that hire now that he just came from, you know, a team that limited the Los Angeles Rams to only 3 points in the Super Bowl?
Over the last 20 years, the Bills fans should be rejoicing about that, right? Because every coordinator that leaves Belichick is pedestrian at best over the last 20 years, right?
Yeah, dude.
That's great for us.
I was psyched.
Eric Mangini, right? Josh McDaniels left and came back, then left and changed his mind. Romeo Crennel, like all these guys.
Charlie Weiss.
It was Jim Schwartz, Crennel.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody is billed as like these geniuses, but in the end, it always turns out that it was Belichick all along.
Yeah, he's always been the mastermind behind all of this, and they all think that he can be. There's only going to be one Belichick. I think we can safely say that. There's only going to be one guy that's ever this great at his job, and guys that have, you know, even I heard the argument that Bill Parcells wasn't the head coach he was without Bill Belichick as his defensive coordinator, you know? So, I mean, and I'm kind of agreeing with that, because how many Super Bowls did Bill Parcells win versus, you know, with or without Bill Belichick as defensive coordinator? He shut down the Buffalo Bills K-gun offense in Super Bowl 25. And he also just shut down. I mean, it was his coaching that shut down the Los Angeles Rams, which was the second highest scoring offense in the NFL this last season, to 3 points. So yeah, I agree. I don't think there's been any coordinator that has become a successful head coach since. Yeah, I was happy about this. Let's be honest. I think you and I, we were texting each other. This was a great hire for us as Bills fans. And if you think about it, between the last thing you want is a coordinator, an up and coming coordinator, where it's like the guy's shown a lot of promise with like limited roles. Like, I never bought into Adam Gase being that good of a head coach, because the only reason he got a head coaching job was because he coached Peyton Manning in Denver. It's like, well, you know, who didn't do well with Peyton Manning in Denver, you know, when he was setting records? Peyton Manning was pretty much the offensive coordinator. So I'm like, sweet. He went to the Dolphins. Great. Now he's with the Jets. Awesome. And now you see that Brian Flores, an ex-Patriots defensive coordinator. Look at Matt. Why can't I think of the
Patricia?
Matt Patricia. He hasn't done shit in the long.
No, he inherited a 9-7 Lions team with Matt Stafford. It's total regression.
Yeah, terrible.
It's a great demonstration of the Peter Principle. You remember that? We've talked about that before. But Peter Principle states that a person who is competent at their job will keep earning a promotion to a more senior position, which requires different skills. So ultimately, everybody rises to the level of their incompetence, right? So Belichick is a good head coach, but he's got all these people below him that keep rising, right? You hear all the time, oh, he started off as the defensive backs coach and then was the line coach, and then he's the defensive coordinator. Or he's not. He's the interim defensive coordinator, but he's calling plays. And like, they keep rising and they're doing well and rising, and then they're not given the head coaching opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Until you give them that shot, and then it's revealed that it's above their level of competence.
Yeah.
Because it requires a completely different skill set.
A good job with that. They don't promote you until you're already doing the work of what you would be promoted to.
And have threatened to leave to go to a competitor.
Peter Principle. I thought, is it Peter Principle have to do with the Office Space? Is that what that's based on?
I think it was a business book back in like 60s, 70s.
So not from that movie in the 90s?
I don't believe so.
It's slightly more, the Peter Principle from Office Space.
A little bit more hashed out, like a business management principle.
Oh, okay. Essentially. Like much more. It was probably one of the leading books in like corporate leadership and promotion within. Whereas like we're talking about a 90s movie that was just really funny. The principle though in Office Space, that Peter principle was, if you don't try at all, you're going to get promoted because you just don't care. And then it's the funniest thing. They gave me a promotion. You haven't been to work in 3 weeks. I know they gave me your, you know, they gave me your old job, whatever. So later this last week, I don't know if, did you guys hear that Brandon Bean had written a letter to season ticket holders after the Super Bowl?
I heard about it.
So I'm pulling this up on BuffaloRumblings.com. I guess what happened is season ticket holders for the Buffalo Bills received a carefully penned letter from general manager Brandon Bean. Basically, the letter begins with Bean expressing disappointment at the Bills' final record in the 2018 season. And then the tone is immediately shifted towards excitement. This is the author Scarecrow writing this at BuffaloRumblings.com. And I guess what he really wanted to say is he lays out the current foundation of the team and delves into some plans to mold the team into a championship, quote unquote, championship contender. So he writes, summarizing this, a commitment to the process of drafting and developing players in-house. Bean points toward their current status of having 10 draft picks in the upcoming draft as a means to continue this approach. Bean doesn't dodge around the dead cap situation in 2018. Being intentional to put the team in a better position moving forward, which we talked about time and time again on this podcast, that Bean has always been looking bigger picture for this team as opposed to year to year, although also trying to win year to year, whether it's possible, like the 9-7 season a couple of years ago. Bean also promises that they intend to be active during free agency, but will be calculated with those decisions. Above all else, this statement is likely to have fans reading between the lines. I think that's just common sense, right? I mean, no GM would be like, you know, we're just going to spend frivolously. Like, whatever guy is, we're probably going to overspend to get him. You know, what else are they going to say, right?
Yeah, it seems just like a standard thing that they send to the season ticket holders.
He also writes, the idea of, quote unquote, one voice is reaffirmed with Brandon Bean indicating that the Pegula family, Sean McDermott, and Bean are all on the same page, which is kind of nice to hear. We knew it would be because Sean McDermott kind of handpicked Brandon Bean and Pegula handpicked Sean McDermott. But that's always kind of nice to be on the same page. It's not something that we've always had as Bills fans. I feel like with Doug Whaley and Rex Ryan or Doug Marrone, they weren't on the same page a lot of the time. I don't know whose fault that was, but it's kind of nice that there is a one voice and a one Buffalo sort of feeling with management, coaching, and ownership, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, we discussed a lot of things, in this podcast, Tom Brady, you know, being a Bills quarterback, news and notes. I think I'm all set for this. I mean, for this off season podcast, it's officially the off season. If you guys are listening, we appreciate you guys listening out there. Obviously, Matt Warren does a great podcast, a Q&A podcast, every week. Also, we'll be coming to you guys every other week or so now that it's the off season. We don't come as normally, and it's going to be a little bit less. Oh, you know, oh crap, I forgot. One of the segments that we're going to do This Week in Bills History.
This Week in Bills History.
All right, This Week in Bills History. This is courtesy of at Buff Sports History. On February 3rd, on this date, 1991, Jim Kelly named Pro Bowl MVP as the AFC defeats the NFC 23-21. Kelly threw for two scores, including one to Andre Reed and one to Ernest Givens. With under 2 minutes remaining in the game, a total of 10 Bills players were represented in the game.
Nice. Nice, thanks. Yeah,
can you name the 10 Bills players?
Can I name the 10 Bills players? Okay. That's insane, by the way, that there were 10 Bills players in the Pro Bowl, you know, looking back at it. I'm sure we could name at least 7 or 8, right, Mike?
I don't know, Nate.
Mike's just done with his podcast already. He heard me, like, closing it. He's just like, I'm fucking out, man. Okay, so obviously we have Jim Kelly. That's one. Daryl Talley.
Bruce Smith.
Bruce Smith. Andre Reed. Thurman Thomas, right?
Yep.
Ken Hall.
That's 4.
Yep.
5. That's 5. James Lofton.
I don't see Lofton's name.
you take a guess.
Steve Tasker.
Tasker, 7.
Shit.
Mark Kelso?
Nope.
I was just throwing that away so Nate didn't feel bad.
Cornelius Bennett.
Yes.
Yes, that's 8, right?
Okay, 2 more to go. One on offense, one on defense.
Bryce Pop?
No, that's
No.
That's too early for that.
Too early. One on offense, one on defense. Offense has got to be another lineman, right? Yep. I don't think there's another, unless it was Donby. Who was it? Oh, jeez, it wasn't Ken Hall. Who else was a great? Will Wolford?
Yes.
Yes! Mike, you got the 10th one?
Who?
Pro Bowl guard slash tackle slash offensive lineman. I don't know what he played. Will Wolford. defense. So one guy left on defense, Mike. It wouldn't be Nate Clemens?
No, I think it's too early for that.
Okay.
A corner, though?
Yeah.
No.
A defensive back?
No.
All right, so it's maybe a linebacker, D lineman. Linebackers, we already got two of them.
You name the third.
Is it a linebacker?
Uh-huh.
Daryl Talley, Cornelius Bennett. Jeez, do they have a third good one? Not Carlton Bailey.
No.
Who the heck was... Was it Shane Conlin?
Yep.
All right.
Wow. Gee, that's amazing.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
No, not you. The fact that they had 10.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's also cool. Yep. So where was I going before that? Oh, yeah, so we're going to do like every other week or so, have a couple of interviews lined up for the podcast. And yeah, so.
Don't you think it's curious that, like, Brady's the only one still with the Patriots from their first Super Bowl, right? Like, it seems all the rewards for football go to the quarterback. A disproportionate amount of them. And certainly you could say, like, oh, the losses fall more heavily on him, but he gets more credit for the wins, but disproportionate amount of blame for the losses. But, I mean, you can't, especially in today's game, you can't touch the quarterback, really, with blows to the head, right? Yeah. And that's how everybody gets CTE and all the resultant health problems. Like, a quarterback, if they're decent, can legit play for 15 years. Brady's doing it for 20, and they make all the big money. Like, if you let your kid play football, he'd be like, you better be a quarterback, right? Like, they're the face of the league. They're the ones that get the MVPs.
Yeah.
Like, it just, the more you watch football, like, it's such a high percentage of the money, the glory, the good health, the longevity is accumulating to that position.
Yeah, you know, I never really thought about that because quarterbacks, I always thought, took the most hits. But when you think about it, they really don't. I mean, especially nowadays, because they are playing in their 40s. Like, Drew Brees just turned 40. Tom Brady's 41. I mean, no running back plays past 30 almost.
And like CTE, they used to think before the research really got going, right? It was like, oh, how many concussions have you had? Oh, you've had 4, 5, 6 concussions. Like, that's where we thought the brain injuries were most problematic, right? It was the hard hit concussions. But then over time, the research shows that it's more the linemen in the trenches when you're getting hit play after play after play, these less intense but much more frequent. So it's like, you can't do your job as a lineman without your constant blocking each other, right? Yeah. On every single play.
Yeah.
Whereas the quarterback, if a hand touches your helmet, that's a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, whereas guys are hitting in the head on every collision on the offensive line and defensive line, right?
Right. It just seems so disproportionate to me. The older you get, the more you understand about the game and the world, and it's tilting more and more in that direction. It seems like it's curious. Like, if you're everybody else on the team that's out of the league in 3 years, 4 years, you know, it's like, geez.
But it's also the position where it's hardest to find guys that can continually win. You know, like, I think that there might be 12 to 15 quarterbacks maybe that are, you know, at any given Sunday, they could win you a game. So it's like so much less than any other position because every team has two offensive tackles and two offensive guards and two defensive tackles or whatever, you know, and whereas, you know, starters and there's only one. And if I guess I can't say that because some really aren't that good, like the Bills offensive linemen, but there's just so few of them too. So I feel like they have to pay them that much. But I mean, for the amount of money that they make versus,
I'm not saying they don't deserve it. They may deserve, and like an economic theory, like what they're producing, they might deserve 10 times that. And the NFL is and unfair monopoly holding their wages down. Like, that's not, I'm just saying, relative to all the other positions, they seem to get a huge chunk of the rewards. So like, if you're one of the other guys, you'd be like, kind of what the, like, you would think the players would be more equally rewarded, I guess. And I get your point about there's only 15, they're a rare commodity, but you could say, like, your point is that the talent level is more, is less wide at other positions. So a quarterback, there's a huge gulf between the most talented player and the least talented player, whereas running back, they're all scrunched.
Yeah, kind of. Whereas, yeah, the top, the between the top and average probably isn't that much. But that's a great point, Mike, as far as like think about like the third Super Bowl, who was the Patriots middle linebacker? Like, who knows? Who cares? You know, but if you ask who was,
like, none of the guys from the first Super Bowl are on the team, right?
No.
Nobody.
No. Not one. Not one's probably from like the third or fourth Super Bowl, you know? You know, 14 years ago or whatever that was. Like, none.
Okay.
Good point. Good point. Cool. Cool, guys. Well, it's been good to talk to you guys again. Good to talk Bills with you guys again. Some fun football topics. To all the listeners out there, thank you guys for listening. Keep subscribing. Email us any questions you have or tweet at us. We appreciate you guys having feedback on Twitter and Facebook. But I think that's going to wrap up this episode. So for John.
It was great talking Patriots with you guys.
For Mike.
Remember the Peter principle, like, you're probably incompetent at your job. Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, let's hope that the Bills can find some bulletin board material and some motivation like the Patriots did this last postseason and turn 2019 into a big playoff push. So thanks for listening. Go Bills.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.